to media members on the line, just hit star one on your keypad if you have questions for the coaches here today. We now welcome onto the call the head coach at UAlbany, Greg Gattuso. Good morning, Coach Gattuso.
Morning, Rob.
Good morning. Congratulations to you and your team. A 35-28 victory over Rhode Island, your fourth win in the past 5 weeks. What impressed you with the way your team played?
Well, I'd say the word would be resilient. I think we held tough. We weren't playing real well, and they were doing a lot of good things. And, you know, we were able to keep the score close at halftime and, you know, get off the field and try to regroup, which I think we did. You know, I told the team this morning we didn't have our fastball. You know, we just didn't have everything going in sync, and you got to credit Rhode Island for keeping us off balance. But I think we eventually settled in and made some adjustments and were able to get righted. And obviously, you know, the elephant in the room is turnovers. You know, we were able to generate some turnovers that really changed the course of the game. And, you know, we pass rush forced a touch, you know, a fumble on the quarterback and a scoop and score. And, you know, it really turned the momentum of the football game at that point, where we were able to get back and tie the game and then get another turnover immediately and take the lead. And we were, you know, we got points out of it. We got touchdowns off the turnovers. So I think, you know, three of the four turnovers we had touchdowns, 22 points. You know, that's huge in a football game, and it was what swung the game to us as the game progressed.
Is that maybe the best thing you take out of it is in a game where you guys maybe aren't at your best, you figure out a way to get a win?
Well, I do know this. When you know, we've had some hard luck in the past, but a lot of that's just working through it and growing up. And I, you know, when at halftime I talked to the team, I literally simply told them I can't wait to see the type of team we are in the second half, because we did not play real well in the first half. They did some, you know, some new things, which we knew they were going to do. And we, you know, we just didn't adjust real well. We didn't self-correct. We're a big self-correct team where, you know, the kids are able to, you know, take care of little things out there amongst themselves, because we can't be out there with them. And I think once we got settled down, we were better. You know, our big goal was simply to eliminate as many big plays as we could from Rhode Island. Their receiving core is outstanding. We were able to limit the damage, you know, a couple jump balls, you know, no catch and runs, things like that. We knew that, you know, I wasn't overly worried about the run game in the sense of, I figured they were going to get some run yards, but we just wanted to make sure we got them on. We did give up the one big play in the run game, which was disappointing. But all in all, you know, we bend but didn't break a whole lot. And I thought the turnovers obviously changed the course of the football game. So, yeah, I think, you know, the good thing is we won a game where we didn't play our best. And
We got a couple of media questions in queue. If you'll get those for us, Tamika.
You have a question from the line of Kyle Sink. Kensing with Flow Sports.
Coach, with the team sitting now 5 wins, you know, 3 in conference play, is there much internal look ahead in terms of making a push to the playoffs, or is it still kind of one week at a time sort of mentality?
Yeah, I know it's hard, and people think that it's a cliche. Cliches are kind of things you say to off-put a question, but really the truth of the matter is we are 100% focused internally right now for the next few days, and then we're going to turn our attention to Maine, because we know what a great football team they are. And you know, we've been able to right the ship here. Last year Towson and Rhode Island beat us up, and we were able to come back and get wins this year. And Maine has been a real tough game for us every year. It's probably one of our biggest rivalries is playing against Maine. So, and we've not played them very well. So, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. I'm not worried about the other stuff, you know, honestly, just trying to win a game each week. And you start looking ahead in our conference, and you can count on an L on your record.
Yeah, and then this season, you know, you've mentioned Carl quite a few times, and I believe he's leading the conference in rushing now, top six in the country. And what has he been able to do to be so productive week after week after week like this?
He's an incredibly consistent football player. His effort level never diminishes. He doesn't care. The thing that I love about Carl the most is he doesn't care if he's carrying the ball, if he's blocking for someone, if he's protecting on a linebacker, or he's catching the ball out of the backfield. He's really just the consummate football player in my mind, and that's what I love about him the most. He's been like that since he's got here. We could see his surge starting last year, and he's become a really reliable number one back, and he's physical. You know, he's going to run tough between the tackles, and the kid's just a great football player, and he does all aspects of it very well.
Thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from Greg Medea with the Daily News.
Hey Greg, kind of along the lines of what you're just talking about, in terms of keeping a team that probably hasn't been in playoff position or a chance to make the playoffs like this time of year, recently, what's kind of the toughest part about keeping them focused week to week and focusing on the game that's this coming Saturday and so on? What's kind of the most challenging part of that?
Well, honestly, all of our upperclassmen were on a football team a couple years. It might seem like a long time ago, but it really was just three seasons ago. And our kids understand that there's no easy way into the playoffs. You know, we felt we were a legitimate playoff team a couple years ago, and we did not get in. So our kids understand you got to win as many games you can, and then you have to put it in the hands of some committee that you don't really know. And so our guys are really focused on not on that, but honestly winning games. Because if we don't win games at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. And you know, everyone likes to talk about playoffs, but you know, we're really focused on winning games because that, at the end of the day, it's out of our hands. So we're just going to win as many as we can, and if we can win some more games, one of the things we've had trouble in the conference doing is stacking wins, and I think that was the best part of Saturday for me, was we were able to win two conference games in a row. We've never been 3-1 at this point in the season, and the big thing next week is playing a great football team, the conference champs last year, with a chance to get another conference win.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Sure.
Greg, defensively, you guys gave up, as you touched on, you gave up some yards, 460 yards, but the ability to make big plays, the strip sack that led to Nick Griffin's fumble return there early in the third quarter, and then the fumble you were able to force on the one-yard line, how big were those plays, even though, again, you gave up more yards probably than you would like, but your defense able to come up and be resilient and come up with those big plays?
Yeah, one of the things I'm not, Rob, is a yardage guy. We knew when you're playing a passing attack with the – I mean, they don't just have two good receivers. They have three, four guys. We knew, you know, and the thing that – the other thing that came out of this game for me with our team was we had two – we started without our starting corner. We had two more starters go out in the secondary. So what happened was we lost some of our packages and some of our pressure packages. And we really had to play a lot of base defense with some guys that, you know, we played a freshman safety in his first time he's really ever played. Hayden Speck played his rear end off, and he's the guy that forced the fumble on the goal line. Hayden's all of 5'9" and a half, 165 pounds, and he took the back on in the hole and hit the ball, you know, physically hit him and knocked the ball out. So, you know, those guys really rallied and played hard. And to me, the signs of a good football team is when you can win a game when you're not at your healthiest or at your best. And I'm really proud of that part of the win, that we were able to gut it out. Everybody has injuries. You just can't use them as excuses. And I thought our kids didn't fall back on, oh, we were beat up, so it was okay to lose. And they didn't do that. And you got to credit those guys that stepped in and made some great plays. Dante Mount, Hayden Speck, Larry Walker were all three guys that were backing up that played that whole second half against the best passing attack in the league. So I give them a lot of credit.
And along those same lines, offensively, Jeff Underkeppler's had such a tremendous year, 24 touchdown passes now, but his numbers, at least percentage-wise, were down from where they usually were. But his ability to come up and make and still throw for four TDs and make some big plays, how impressed were you with that on a day where he didn't have his best day?
Yeah, I mean, again, it all kind of rolls into one. Two weeks ago, we pretty much played about as well as we can play as three units. And I thought Saturday, you know, we sputtered on both sides. And it certainly wasn't just Jeff. You know, we had a higher number of open drops. We had two guys behind the secondary with good throws, drops. Very unusual for our guys. But the good thing is, you know, Juwan Green comes back and late in the half and Jeff makes a great throw. And he makes a great catch and run and gets in the end zone and gives us some life. You know, and Juwan made a couple really great plays in the second half. Jeff made some great throws. He just wasn't quite himself. And it happens, you know. And that's one of the reasons I don't want to be a one-dimensional football team is when one side's off or, you know, and people that haven't lived in the Northeast don't understand is you don't always have cooperative weather. So you've got to be able to run the ball and throw the ball to your tight ends and play great defense. So I thought we did that. I thought Rhode Island really had a good plan, and they really were doing good things, but we were able to keep them out of the end zone, and that's what football's all about, keeping them out of the end zone.
Before I let you go, with all the injuries that you've touched on, is this as good a time as any for this bye week to try to get healthy for the stretch?
Yeah, you know, I've honestly never really had a bye week this late, and we need it. There's no doubt. You know, the bye week is always tough because you worry about coming out the next time you play, and you know, we're trying to institute some things that keep our guys going, but yet take care of their bodies and but get enough stuff done that we can kind of get rolling going into next week. But we need it. I mean, we're missing a group of guys. We're banged up. I think mentally everybody's a little fatigued, including the head coach. And I think that we all need a day or two to regroup and then get back at this thing tomorrow and Wednesday, try to get back on track.
All right, Greg, thanks for your time this morning. Enjoy the bye week, and we'll talk again next Monday.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks.